All right. This morning, on the last Sunday of the year, I'd like you to open up your Bible to page number one. I'm hoping your Bible is like my Bible, in that page number one is also Genesis chapter number one. If it's not, don't tell me. I would dare say that most pastors today that stand behind the pulpits are preaching messages very similar to the message that I am preaching. In the direction of the message, as God enables us to take a moment at the end of the year and to preach a reflective message that helps us to look back on 2019. I want to do that this morning with you. And I found in Genesis chapter 1, as God brought me here, to a wonderful scripture to enable us to do that. Where I am heading is Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. If you would read that first. The Bible says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was, would you say those two words? Very good. Join with me, if you would, please, chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form, void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Would you finish verse number 3 with me? And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening, that's interesting, and the morning, not the morning and the evening. The evening and the morning were the first day. Pastor, do you really believe that God created light? Yeah. Do you really believe that God created the day? Yeah. Do you really believe that God created night? Yeah. Why would you believe that? Because the Bible says it. Well, it gets better. And God said, verse number 6, let there be a firmament, or an expanse of the sky, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. That's not his heaven. And the evening and the morning were the, say those two words please, second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land, where did earth get its name? God. And the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Pastor, where do we get apples from? God made them. Pastor, where did we get grass? God made it. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Pastor, how did we ever learn to tell time? We learned to tell it from the sky. How did we ever learn to understand seasons and all that? God enabled us. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. That seems to be a pattern. If God says it's going to be so, it's going to be so. And God made two great lights. Oh, the greater light to rule the day. And the lesser light to rule the night. And by the way, he made the stars also. I love that part. He made the Moses said he made the stars also, like it was nothing. By the way, to God it was nothing. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Seems to be a pattern here. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. That scares me. I don't like sharks. Creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales. Wow. I went whale watching one time. Most miserable experience I've ever had in my life. I should tell you about it. It was not what I expected it to be. And every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was what, class? God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas. Brother Callahan is shouting amen somewhere. And let fowl multiply in the earth. In the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things. That's where you get the word creep. And beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. Pastor, did God make a cockroach? Does it creep on the earth? Yeah. And God saw that it was what, class? Aren't you enjoying the reading of the Bible? And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Please say this out loud. Male and female created he them. I think we should say amen to that. That'll preach. And God blessed them, said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat or food. Man did not eat animals until after the flood. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was, say those two words. Very good. I sure would rather believe in the Bible than I would in evolution. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, Pastor, in the beginning, before what? Before everything that was made, there was God. He is eternal. He is without beginning. He is without end. Moses, writing about the beginning of creation, the beginning of the earth, beginning of the night and the day, records for us the 6 days of creation. At the end of creating all that God did in those 6 days, God himself stepped back and took inventory of what he had done. And in taking inventory of it and getting all of the individual aspects, he lumped them all together and he stepped back and he said, it is good. Not just good, very good. When you read the words very good, it carries with it the idea of exceedingly good, pure, without evil. God, in creating the earth, did not create evil. Ah, Pastor, you're mistaken, because in Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 7, says very clearly about God that he creates the good and he creates the evil. Very clearly is the vantage point you want to take. Then read it very carefully. And when you read it very clearly and very carefully, you will find that that's not a moral evil. He's talking about a calamity. He's talking about a trial. He's talking about the ability for God to move in a way that disrupts, that brings people's attention. Nowhere ever has God created sin. Sin came out of the will of an angel. His name is Lucifer, and it's come out of the will of humanity. At the end of creation, God looks back and says about what he created, it is very, very good. In Genesis chapter 1, you have God the Creator. Genesis chapter number 2, you have the specifics about the creation of man. You have much in that chapter. When you get to Genesis chapter number 3, you find that the Bible introduces to us another character. And the character that is introduced to us is the fallen angel. He is the serpent. He is Satan. He is the tempter. He is the destroyer. When you read in Genesis chapter 3, you find that Satan, as he approaches Eve in his attempt to woo her, in his attempt to allure her, to deceive her, he uses part of the good creation that God made for man, And he uses that as a platform to intercede into the mind and the thought process of Eve. You find that he is very successful at what he is doing and accomplishes that purpose. For in Genesis chapter 3, not only do we find Satan the tempter, but we also find man the sinner. And I know that we are not in the beginning today where God created the heavens and in the earth. But I do want to take from this passage and from this scripture a truth that I believe that God has given to me. And I want to be a blessing to you. And I want to defend you. I want to defend your thoughts. I want to defend your response. And I want to defend God in his character. I want to defend God in his goodness. I want to defend God in his love for you today. You see, God is not creating the heavens and the earth. He's finished with that. But God, in some essence, is still creating in each of our lives. He's moving in our lives. And he's working in that aspect. And as God begins to move and work in our lives, sometimes he creates opportunities. Sometimes he creates trials. Sometimes he creates tests. Sometimes he creates relationships. Sometimes he creates callings and confrontations and blessings. And sometimes he creates wealth. And sometimes he creates promotions in our lives. And I'm not sure what God created for you in 2019. But I want to draw your attention to that in a message entitled, In 2019, God Created. And God, as he is creating things in our lives and these certain types of opportunities, he creates things in our lives for our good, because he is good. And he creates them for his glory, because he desires to be glorified and he's worthy of the glory of God's people. But I do not want to happen to you what happened to Eve. I don't want for Satan the tempter to be able to come into your 2019 and take something that God created for you to grow your faith, to challenge you, to reveal himself to you, to walk with you, to develop that relationship with you. And I don't want him to come in to that 2019 and twist part of that in your heart, in your mind, so that you miss out on what God is wanting to accomplish in your life. Let me just give you a little illustration of that, if you would, please. Go to chapter 2 of Genesis. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 15. In verse number 15, after God has created Adam, and God now is moving him into the garden. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest, what are those two words? Freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely, what? Question for you. Did God create the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Did God put it in the garden? Did God do it for some purpose? Was it probably for man's good? Was it for his glory? Yes. I don't know how many trees they were allowed to eat of, but I do know how many trees they were not allowed to eat of. Uno. You didn't know I spoke Spanish. That is the limit of my Spanish. All of the trees, all of the provision, all that God created for them to enjoy, that was good. One tree. God created it. It was good. It was there. But God put a restriction on it. And God said, on that one, don't eat it. And the day thou eatest of that tree, thou shalt surely die. You imagine what went through the mind of Adam and Eve at the beginning, right? Nothing. They didn't eat it. They didn't partake of it. Why? Because God said not to do it. Pastor, how was it that simple? Because in that beginning, they believed and trusted that God is good, holy, and righteous, and loved them, and cared for them, and looked out for them. Chapter 3, verse number 1, please. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of, say those two words, every tree of the garden. So Satan comes to Eve through the form of that serpent. And Satan, wanting to invest in the mind of Eve, to deceive the mind of Eve, reaches into the creation of God and uses it. Verse number 2. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, he never said what she's about to say, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. There's nowhere where God said that. Lest ye, what class? Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall, what's that word? Not surely die. Uh-oh. For the first time in the humanity, they have the voice of God and they have someone challenging the voice of God. They have the word of God and they have somebody questioning the word of God. Fiercely, ferociously, fervently questioning the word of God. Satan reaches into that garden and he grabs that one tree and he says, God said you can't eat of every tree? Yeah. God said we can't eat of that tree. Now watch this very carefully. God said if we eat of it, we're going to die. Satan comes back and says, come on. Just because God said that doesn't mean it's going to happen. We just got done reading, and God said, and it was so. If God says it, it's going to happen. And watch the twist, verse number 5. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, small g, knowing good and evil. Just like that dirty, rotten scoundrel reaches into what God had created for them, pulls that out, that good, very, exceedingly, without evil, with lack of impurity, good, and uses that to attack the very nature and character and love of God, and says to them, he's holding out on you. You see, you don't understand about God, but here's the truth. God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, by the way, if anybody ever tells you that God knows something, you better confirm it in his word. God knows that in the day that you eat of that, you'll be like him. God, in essence, is holding out on you. And for my message today, and what I believe the Lord wants me to preach to you this morning, is this is still happening. This still happens in the heart and mind of the people of God. And it happens to the point where as God is moving in our lives, creating in our lives things for our good and for his glory, very often Satan will reach into that creation or that movement and pull out one thing you don't understand, one pain that you should not have, one failure you never thought would dream, one valley that you thought should never be part of my life, one thing that he can just twist and say, if he loved you, he wouldn't have done that to you. What that does in the mind of God's people is it begins to bring about a question of not whether or not I can fully believe or trust God. My friends, don't let your mind play tricks on you. You absolutely can fully entrust our God. So here's what God does, and I want you to look back. What did God create in your 2019 that Satan grabbed a hold of and said, see, he don't care about you. He don't love you. He don't know you. If so, he would have never moved like that. Just because you don't understand what God is doing does not mean God is wrong. So it's very hard for me to do this, but I want to grab your mind. I want to take you back to January 1, 2019. And I want to walk you in your mind to December 29th, 2019. And I want you to think about what God created in your life. I'll read them again. Maybe he created something in your life to challenge you in your faith, to deepen you in your faith. Usually that comes by a trial or a test. Oh, you may not understand it. It may hurt like you never hurt before. It may be bewildering to you to where you can't hardly stagger yourself trying to find footing in your reality. But God brought it into your life. He performed it in front of you. Maybe it's a calling of God. Maybe God created a calling to full-time ministry. Maybe he created a calling to evangelism. Maybe he created a calling to missions. And he created this in your mind. He created it in your heart. And Satan's just grabbing that thing and choking the life out of it with you and twisting it against the holiness of God. Maybe he created some relationship in your life. By the way, if God creates a relationship in your life, it will be a biblical relationship. Maybe God created a confrontation in your life. Maybe you needed that confrontation. Adam, where are you, buddy? Adam, huh? Adam, where are you? Hiding. Why are you hiding? I'm naked. Adam? Who told you you were naked? You've been naked since the day I created you. Right? Sometimes God created a confrontation in you. Maybe you were going the wrong direction in 2019. Maybe you were disobedient. And what God created in that confrontation for good and for his glory, old Satan got in there and said, yeah. But But if he'd have known, he did that. But what you need to understand is, if you don't do that, he'll really understand. Maybe it was a blessing. Maybe it was some type of wealth that God created, some type of promotion. What did God create in your life in 2019 that was very, very good, but it didn't materialize in that goodness because you allowed the devil to get in there and grab that sucker and twist it to where you begin to think about, is God really good to me? Does God really love me? Why would God hurt me like that? Why would God let me go through that hurt? Why would God make me lose that? Why would God bring that situation into my life? I thought I would challenge that thought process by bringing you back to God creating man and point out three or four things very quickly. I'm used to preaching to 12:15. It's only 11:34. I'm doing great. I promise I won't do that. Would you come back to verse number 26? In verse number 26 of Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. When you read that and you read down through verse 26 and you read through verse number 27, you sense an excitement in God in his creating of man. You sense a joy in making man in his image. You sense just this, when you read it, you almost get this giddiness about God, this pleasure, this delight. Listen, it was a delight for God to create you. He loves you. We're made in his image. And in all of creation, there's not any part of that that can commune with him like you and I can. And when you read about him creating us, the sense of that is excitement and thrill and pleasure and joy. And that is the sense and the feeling that a creator gets. Even down as man has been born in the image of God and man has progressed on the earth, anytime a man creates something or a woman creates something, there's joy and there's pleasure. And there's excitement in that because it's unfolded. It's bearing forth. It's there. It comes from the heart and the mind and it has purpose in that. It was that way in creation. And it's that way when God creates things in our lives today. And we let the devil twist the excitement of God in what God is doing in our life to bring about goodness and to bring about the glory and strip that from him to where we look at God as almost an ogre in the creation and not a delight. I love what he said in verse number 28. And God, what are those two words? Bless them. Do you know when you study that word blessed, it not only carries with the idea of bestowing a gift, but it carries with it the idea of assigning a function. So when God created man, he blessed man. In his excitement there, he assigned man a function. With that came a wonderful opportunity. God said, listen, I've created all of this. I want you to have dominion in it, over it. I've created all of this. I want you to be blessed by that. And it was like God was handing over creation and all that he had done into Adam. And God was excited to see what Adam was going to do with that. He had this wonderful opportunity. But anytime you have opportunity, you have responsibility. So God creates things in our lives. And God's excited to see what you're going to do with that storm. God's excited to see what you're going to do with that little bit of pressure or with that little opportunity or with that little blessing. And he's unfolded it and he's created it and he's brought it into your life. But when God brings an opportunity into our life, he also demands responsibility. And the responsibility is a submission and a holiness and a yielding to where that for the purpose that was created, I carry that forward. And so Adam vacated that responsibility off of that wonderful opportunity that God has. So what did you do with the opportunity God gave you? I'll tell you exactly what I did. I went into my room, I sat down, and I got mad at God. And I told him, don't ever treat me like that again. I told him, I'm never doing a stinking thing for you ever again. I told him, leave me alone. I got it. From here on out, I got it. That's interesting. Because the only thing man's ever created in his life is problems. Can I get an amen there? I'm doing all the work here. You guys are just sitting there. Verse 29. And God said, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. Not only was he excited about creation, not only was he thrilled about to see what they were going to do with the opportunity he had given them, but God had provided every provision they needed. He understood their every need. He knew they would need to be strengthened. He knew they would need to be sustained. And so he set it up. Matter of fact, if you look, Lord, where's my verse here? He talks about that he provided that food in every part. Oh yeah, go to verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the what? Face of the earth. So he's dealing here with them in this little region, but he's provided for them upon the face of the earth. Now, this is what I want to say about that. So in creation, God was excited about creating man. God was excited about the opportunity that they had for dominion and multiplication. And God was excited to see what they were going to do in this opportunity. And God would come down and walk with them in the cool of the day. And God would hear about them and God would commune with them. And there was a responsibility for them to do that God's way and to be obedient about that. But God had taken care of every provision, every need, every desire. He knew they would need to be strengthened. He knew they would need to be sustained. And God was able to see the future of that. So this is what God's done. 2019, God created something in your life and you didn't like it. And the devil twists that sucker on you. And God brought it in there for good and glory, and Satan took it and made you question the heart of God or the joy of God or the love of God. But if you can understand how God worked in creating the earth, you can understand how God worked in creating your problem. Or creating your situation. Or creating that need. He was excited to create man. He was excited to create this in your life. Why? Because he's good. And he wants the glory of God that's due his name. He was this excited for the opportunity that Adam had. Could you name all the animals? I can't even remember my own dog's name. He was excited for those opportunities. And he provided for that. Everything that man would ever need. He blessed them. He cared for them. And Satan took one thing they didn't understand and said, you can't trust him. I don't want you to end 2019 letting Satan take one thing in your life that God brought into your life for your good and your glory and tell you, you can't trust him. What you should do is say, okay, God, I don't understand why you brought this into my life or created this in my life. But I do know this. You love me. You created me. You died for me. You saved me. You care for me. You've never done anything wrong in your life. I know whatever you do is for my good. And I know that you're going to get glory out of this. So I'm going to submit to this, and I'm going to yield responsibility to this opportunity, and what you've created in my life, God, would you see that it gets worked out with my humble submission? Don't go into 2020 not having reckoned what God has created for you in 2019. I trust that today's a day of humbling for that. Shall we pray?